It's the first full week in January, and that can only mean one thing. Vegas, baby Vegas. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. It is the start of a new year, and here in the land of tech and business, that means CES. It's the massive consumer electronics show that dominates the tech industry for the week that it hits Las Vegas in early January every year. I'll be there this week covering the event, so will a lot of other tech journalists, including Wired editor-in-chief Nicholas Thompson. Now, historically, CES has been a fizzy and fun celebration of gadgets and TVs and drones and phones. But in the last couple of years, the sentiment toward tech has turned a bit. I asked Nick Thompson whether a new focus on privacy and the tech lash would be felt at the show this year.
I think they're going to sidestep it again. I think that maybe you'll feel the response to the tech lash at 10% of CES. Maybe it was 5% last year. You'll have a little more of a response. You have a few more gadgets that are designed at protecting your privacy. A few more gadgets that are designed at limiting surveillance. But last year, I showed up and I said, you know what? This is the year where CES responds to the tech lash. The first product I saw was basically a device that sells all your baby's data to anybody.
Let's talk about 5G, the next generation of wireless. Do you think that CES will actually give us some insight into what to expect from it that isn't mostly marketing?
Yes. You know, 5G is interesting because we think of it as one technology in one moment that'll happen, you know, one day. But of course, it's not that, right? It's chips that are compatible with 5G devices, devices that work on 5G networks, building those 5G networks, and then having applications that are specifically built for that. So there are about 100 steps in the equation to get us to 5G. And so we'll see improvements at each and every step. My plan is to go in there looking for products that genuinely don't work on 4G and will only work on 5G. And then I'm going to try to think about what exactly those are and what those will tell us about the 5G future.
There has been pretty regular criticism last year in particular, including from me. There was criticism of CES giving an award to a company that made a sex toy for women, then took back the award, then gave it back again. They're kind of still working on proper representation, I guess you could say, in their keynote lineups and across the show. What's your sense of how CES has responded over the last year?
Well, I think that on the question of representation, I think like most of technology, it's become a far bigger question than it was 1 year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And it's also with an event like CES where you have, you know, a lot of legacy slots and similar companies with similar people with similar booths from year to year, it's like turning a large ship in a harbor. So I think that there is change, and it's not as fast as one might think. On the sex toys thing, I think there'll be huge change, right? Last year, you couldn't show the award-winning sex toy. I think this year, there'll be tons of sex toys, which is appropriate both for gender parity and also because it's Las Vegas.
Right. So we're going into CES 2020. I know that every year there's this conversation about, will there be anything new? Should there be anything truly new? But I feel like the pressure is on to start a new decade with something cool, right? Do you expect to see anything truly new? Like, is if there was ever a year to land a spaceship on top of the convention center, like, this is the year, right?
I think the nature of CES, though, is that it's impossible to have something truly new. Because if you had something truly new, it would be at one small booth in the corner 1 year, and then maybe three or four companies would have the same idea and something similar. And so there would always be people for whom it was new and people for whom it wasn't new. So the notion that there's going to be some kind of device or some kind of idea that will completely blow your mind, I think is unlikely. But there's going to be all kinds of great stuff that we've barely seen before. I'm super interested in foldable glass, for example, right? We've seen it. It's been out there a little bit. It hasn't quite worked.
Yep.
Probably it's not going to really work this year either, but we'll be further along than we were last year.
I'm excited about foldable glass. I actually think that, it looks really neat. I want to see it get better. What do you think we're going to see? I mean, so we're obviously also in the middle of the tariff war. We're in the middle of China really building arguably a parallel tech economy. What do you think we'll see from Chinese manufacturers?
I think we're going to see a fair amount. Last year, there were many more Chinese companies than I'd ever seen before at CES. Part of that is because China has been catching up in all kinds of ways to the U.S. tech sector. But this year's going to be tricky because China's tech is way more advanced, but we've also driven a wedge between the two countries. Huawei being put on the entities list, U.S. companies being told they can't work with Huawei. It is harder for the Chinese companies and the U.S. companies to work together, which may put some pressure on the Chinese companies or give them some disincentives to come from CES. So I'm incredibly interested in seeing how many are there, what they've got, how advanced it looks, and also whether there are any kind of foundational differences in what you see in the Chinese products from what you see in the U.S. products.
Nicholas Thompson is editor-in-chief of Wired Magazine. Other big trends to expect from CES: more streaming media, dual-screen phones and laptops, and 8K media. Sorry, that new 4K TV is already out of date. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Hello to 2020 and to all the new Marketplace investors who joined us before the end of the decade. Thank you for being part of this community of donors who believe in the importance of trustworthy, independent news and information. It's your ongoing support that keeps us strong and helps make people smarter everywhere. Thanks again, and Happy New Year.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.